day to be with you. I'd like to open in prayer. If you'd be able to join me, please do. Heavenly Father, as we gather together here in this place, we come together to lift your name up first and foremost, to honor you for the gift of Robert, for the privilege of having him as father, grandfather, friend, acquaintance, uncle, whatever he was in different people's lives. And we ask, Lord, that in your mercy and your grace, you would minister to each man, woman, and child in this place today, that they would have a touch of your Holy Spirit in their lives, that they would be encouraged and brought closer to you if they already are saved and made aware of the invitation that you extend to each and every one of them. I pray, Lord, that in the way that we honored Robert, that we would do it the way he would love it done, and that he would be able to speak his love over this place, even in this time. So, Lord, we begin this time of worship, praise, and thanksgiving in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and God's people say, amen. Amen. We join together in the opening song, So Adorn Thyself with Gladness. I tried to select a psalm. I looked through all kinds of them and thought about Robert, but I thought this was most appropriate, as I am certain this is what he is doing right now. And we get to be a part of that So I'm going to ask if you're able to or willing, please read it with me as we go through it. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For Under Memories, we have invited Tom to come up and share a few thoughts and a few other things. So, if you would, Tom.
Hope you don't have to be anywhere soon. My dad spent a lot of his time writing Bible tracts, as many of you know. And when I was in his apartment yesterday, and I opened up the file drawer, and I found these. And these are from some many years ago, some maybe recent. But it was his heart to reach everybody that he could, one more person in the kingdom. And why Christians suffer, counting on God's gifts, time alone with the expert, love the church's window to the world, the Pledge of Allegiance, how are we to worship? And it goes on and on and on. And truly, when it says, go ye therefore into the world, he really took that to heart. He learned it from his mom and dad, and he passed it down to my sisters and myself, along with many of you who were raised in the same environment. And a little character from my dad, just a story that popped into my head, and he didn't talk about his Army service too much, but one time he was, guys were betting, this other guy, they couldn't drink a fifth of whiskey, and they were betting, and he was taking all the bets that he could. And my dad says, I'll give you all the money to not drink it. And I think the guy really wanted to prove himself, and he was so sick, I guess. Took him to the hospital, I think. And the last thought I'm going to leave you with is a thought from when my mom passed away, and my Uncle Norman came up to the casket while it was still open, and I'm standing there, and he said, you want her back? It took me a while, made me stand up straight for about 10 seconds, and then I had to say, no, I don't want her back. And if you had asked that of me right now, do I want him back? No, no. He's in perfect paradise right now with my mom, my sister, many of his brothers, as you know. And so that's just the thoughts I wanted to leave you with.
Thank you. I asked permission, and kind of a roundabout way, if I could read Katie's little words. They're printed there for you, but I'll read them over you. I thought she was so articulate and so filled with the wisdom and experience of a granddaughter loving a grandpa, and she put it together in ways that I could never duplicate, and so I just would like to read that to you now. As many of us know, my grandpa was a man of few words. I think that was because the words he spoke always had meaning, and sometimes the words he wrote had even greater meaning. He had a great passion for writing Bible tracts to give to family, friends, and even strangers. Grandpa was a hard worker in any endeavor he had, but he always knew that his calling on earth was to spread the gospel to everyone he could. I remember a running joke between us. Grandpa would ask me, "Are you behaving yourself?" To which I would always answer, "Of course." And in turn, I would ask him the same question. And his response was typically, "No, why should I?" With a little smile in his eyes. It always made me laugh a little because it was quite possible that I've never met someone who is more well-behaved than Grandpa. Well, maybe Grandma Elsbeth is tied for first place. He was truly a man after God's own heart. He was kind, mild-mannered, respectful, and loving. He loved his family second to none other than Christ. He walked in faith every day to honor God. He passed it down through generations, and I can only hope that I am able to demonstrate the dedication like he had to God's kingdom and continue the legacy for many more generations. While we are grieving and filled with sorrow, it is a sorrow accompanied by the most amazing joy, a joy knowing that Grandpa is finally home, where he is wrapped in the arms of Christ and reunited with his beloved Elsbeth. The last words that Grandpa said to me were, "Merry Christmas." These words seem insignificant, but to us all, to all of us, and my grandpa, Christmas represents the truth of Christ's birth and the reminder that we are saved through him. Through this knowledge, we can joyfully mourn Grandpa's passing by knowing that he is joining the Lord in heaven. My favorite quote is, "God's grace is immeasurable, his mercy inexhaustible, his peace inexpressible." Today I pray that we all feel the inexpressible peace that can only come from God's loving heart for each and every one of us, and that we all accept the mercy that he extends gracefully to us all. As we sing this next song, it is a resting song. "Abide with me" means to remain, stick with me. And the idea, of course, is that God stays with us in every situation. And so we continue with the next song, "Abide with me." when I began to think about and ask the Lord what verses I should read, I was not given anything from Robert except what I think Tom said, something like this: "Pastor will know." And so he walked up to me and said, "Did Robert tell you what he wanted?" I said, "No." But I knew this was what he wanted, and I'm going to hopefully communicate that in a way that convinces you of that. It's two familiar things, and you think they're the wrong things for a funeral service, but hang with me if you would. Jesus is speaking and giving a parable. It's during a group of Pharisees that he's with, and he talks about the heavenly feast. And then one of those at the table with him heard this, and he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" A little bit later on, he told a second parable, and that comes out of Luke 15. "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." So I began to think about the things that I wanted to say and things that I believe God wanted to hear. Spoken over Robert. This comes out of one of the sections and says, "This man was my chosen instrument to carry my name." And if you knew anything about him, you know that he carried the name of Jesus with great joy and unbelievable humility. He always had a tract to give you, a word to speak, but if you tried to glorify him, he would always just kind of downplay it. And like Katie said, he was sometimes a man of few words. But then I thought of something else. Out of all the things Robert would want to happen and take place at his funeral, it's the reality that he lived with all the time, every day of his life, that Tom pointed out he learned from his own mother and father. And that reality was this: every one of you are going to die. With COVID, some of you have gotten really scared of it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. It's good to have you scared because you figure out what matters and you figure out where you're going and what's happening. So 100% of the people in this room are going to die. I think Robert would not say it quite that way, but I know it's what he felt in his heart. It'd be more like, "I want to save every single one of them." That was the way he looked at you, and what I want you to hear too. Then I heard, shared with me just recently, For some of the people in this room, this is the closest thing to hell you will ever experience. And for other people in this room, this is the closest thing to heaven you will ever know or experience. And that also sat in his heart with a conviction of looking at people, because one more, if I can just save one more for the kingdom, rescue one more sheep, draw one more in, give them one more pamphlet, one more word, one more life experience that takes them from where they are to where God needs them to be. That was what he lived with, and he just put it out every day in his life in terms of all the things that he had. And so as I was thinking of that, you begin to understand there is a very serious reality that I want to see if I can make you very aware of. And there are some very core questions that are answered in John chapter 14, the parable there. And the questions are this: what's it like to be a Christian? And the answer is given in the text. It's like going to a feast where you didn't have to make anything and you don't have to clean up. Everyone else did all the work and you get everything you could possibly want to eat as God reveals it and brings it into your life. What's it like to be a Christian? I feast at a table I've never worked for. I participate in blessing that I could never earn and will never deserve. And I celebrate in the presence of God, because Robert is where he is now in that completed point, at the feast of God with all those in heaven, and he celebrates and lives in that there. And we learn that in the very first part of that little parable. The second question that's answered in this parable is, how do I become a Christian? And the answer is, you answer yes to the invitation. It's interesting that the word call is repeated in this. And the man put together a supper, and he called to people. He invited people. He said, I want you at my feast. And you have to understand, sometimes these invitations came out in twos, because you'd have to get an invitation out. People would give a version of an RSVP. It wasn't mail, obviously, because they didn't have that as very much or in the same way we do. And you'd RSVP. And then when everything was ready, because there wasn't refrigeration like we normally think of it, the message came out and the servants went out and said, now is the feast ready, it's time to come. And so if you understand in the simplicity of the moment, Robert understood that. He said, God has extended invitation to you. I want to tell you about the invitation, and I want to know that you're going to answer yes. And you understand, I go to a feast I haven't prepared, I don't deserve, I never will, and I share it with other people who have received the invitation, and they simply said, yes, Lord. And so that's that second part I want to make you aware of. The third question I want you to notice is the question that is asked, might be asked, is, who will go to heaven then? And the answer comes back in the parable, anyone who receives and says yes to the invitation. You get to share at the feast, which Jesus is here giving you an example. He says, I am talking to people that I don't want any one of you damned. I want none of you lost. I want every one of you saved. And I realize this may be the last moment you hear that servant say, your invitation is there. We've extended it to you. No more excuses. Please come and receive what I have prepared for you, a feast with unlimited blessing, unlimited joy, unlimited sacrifice, and everything that you can imagine I have done for you. That's the invitation. And so when the slave would knock on the door and say, everything is ready, you also learn the excuses that people have. And those excuses could be sitting right here. They may sound different than the list that we came through with the ones out of the parable. I bought a piece of ground and I have to go check it out. I know I said yes originally, but I've gotten distracted. I've got something in terms of property I have to go and take care of. I cannot come. I won't be there. Please make excuses for me. The next one, I've purchased 5 yoke of oxen, and I better go check what they're like. What fool buys oxen that he hasn't first seen what they're like and checked out? That's why we know these excuses are what we would call stupid and foolish and shallow. They have no real weight to them, except to the person who thinks he's giving a justified excuse. The third example that's down there is I've gotten married. Well, if you know anything about Scripture, it said if you're a newlywed, you don't have to go to war for at least a year. You're allowed 1 year to establish your family, make sure you have a place for your wife and possible children or anything else so that they will be taken care of. But this is not a battle. This is not a war. It's an invitation to a party. Bring your wife with you. And so you begin to understand into the middle of the invitation, the call of God, the sending out of a messenger to remind you, you have been called. God wants you in the kingdom with him. God wants you in the kingdom with him, and you have heard that messenger, I know, if you've been around him very long, say those same words to you and proclaim to you God has called you by name and wants you with him, and you begin to understand, not today, maybe when I'm older, maybe when I survive 2021. None of us at this time last year anticipated sitting in a church with masks on, frightened to go places in many cases, wondering when we can hug family again and we can be normal or whatever that is. You can't sit here today and know what 2021 is going to bring you or me. We can't even be certain we will make it home from here. And so you begin to understand this is so much of what Robert was trying to do for us. The last point that it answers is the last question. If I don't become a Christian, is it really that big of a deal? And the answer also shows up in that text. Because at the very end of the text, it says this, I tell you, you go to the highways and the byways and the hedges, and you bring them in. If I could drag you in, if Robert could figure out a way to drag you in, and he did, with his love, his kindness, his tenderness, his respect, and the dignity that his granddaughter saw in him. He was pulling you with everything that God had given him, short of grabbing you by the arm or behind the neck like a bad kid or by the ears you see in some old movies and taking you wherever you need to be. Where did he want you? Where he is. Where is he? At the Feast of the Lamb. What did he know? The invitation is there. I have come for all of you. And so the last question, what happens or what if I don't become a Christian? The answer is you have this unbelievable ability to experience both the invitation and salvation, but you can bring onto yourself your own judgment and damnation. I'm not interested in the invitation, Lord. I'm sorry, Robert. Maybe another day. I don't really want what God has to offer me. Those are the kind of messages that God hears and that Robert heard and returned it with love and encouragement and second and third and fourth invitations. And so if you hear anything today, I want you to hear Robert's heart speaking to you. I want none of you to have these words spoken over you. I say to you that not even one of those which were called will taste of my heavenly feast. And you begin to understand there is a life and death issue at stake. It's bigger than COVID. It has to do with where Robert is and where he wants you to be. It has to do with him being a messenger of God. And so I thought, as I wrote out or I picked out that second text, I would like Robert to be celebrating, because one of the things I've always experienced with him was a degree of modesty and to kind of hang back-ish. Not negative, but it wasn't, but it was always, it's our, that kind of a thing. And at the same time, I thought, even in heaven, as they rejoice over him joining them, I go, I can still hear him. He would like to hear, one more got saved today. And so what's the second text I picked? All heaven breaks loose. If Robert's death brings one of you to salvation, he will be jumping up and down in heaven, celebrating his life, his existence, and here's the best part, his death, because through that, through the message, through the invitation, through the call from God's Spirit to your spirit, you hear that invitation that Robert always had at the end of his tongue and in his lips. You are welcomed here. This is a place for you to be. One of the things that Tom gave me was a little verse that comes out of, at the end, I can't even find it right now. Sorry, Tom. I got too many sheets. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't put that down as one of the texts because we got a little late for the bulletin. But that's Robert's message. What's his message? I want every one of you in heaven. What's his message? Don't mourn for me. You heard Tom say it. You want him back? What a foolish man it would be if he said, and on the one hand, I understand, even if you did say, I don't want him to go. But on the other hand, I don't want him back. I want him to be celebrating. He did what God called him to do. And some of you have the privilege of inviting others and calling others forward to carry on that ministry that we saw so vividly alive in his life and his actions, his word, his family, his children, his grandchildren, as they begin to understand. That was Grandpa's heart for every one of them. If you hear anything today as a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild, I want you to hear Grandpa's invitation. Where I am, I want you to be. What I'm experiencing is a feast I have never earned and never deserved, but I get to celebrate it with my Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you there with me for all eternity. And that's the message that I believe Robert wanted me to preach and that he wanted you to hear. As we begin to understand that, we're reminded, I was told this, I think by Tom just before, he said, we've heard the season, the message at this time of year, Jesus is the reason for the season. And Tom says, that's really not true. You're the reason for the season of Christmas. Jesus Christ came for you. The message is, I came for you. I called you. I invited you. I tried to let you give me your excuses, but there comes a time when the excuses are no longer of any value. And the key point is, I want you to answer yes to my invitation. And so I celebrate Robert's death. I celebrate the day of his resurrection. I celebrate the privilege of getting to know him. And I celebrate the very fact that when I said, Lord, give me a verse for Robert, he really gave me, this man was my chosen instrument to carry my name. And it finishes off to you. And so I would like you to just pray with me as we remember that. Lord, for the gift of Robert, thank you. For the blessing of his children, his grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, thank you. For a love he demonstrated, for a faith he lived out, for a love that he showed for wife and family, for children and for grandchildren, for a tenderness and yet a strength, a pliability and yet an immovable focus of his heart to save every person he possibly could. I pray that that spirit that you had in him would rest on every one of his kids and his grandkids, that there would be a powerful work in their lives from this day forward as they hear his blessing over them and God's blessing over us all. And so, Lord, we pray that invitation to come and participate in the wedding feast that's prepared for us in all eternity, that we would hear and do that, Lord, by answering, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm coming because I need you. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. As we sing the next song, I Am But a Stranger Here, it is a very beautiful song. It has a lot of character to it. It used to be the last song in the hymnal, and yet it's a really good thought, because I want you to understand that Robert also understood, heaven is my home, I am but a stranger here. We sing it, please. Lord, if there's anyone in this room, in this place, or hearing this on the internet that does not know you, Lord, I pray that they would hear your call and your invitation to come and participate and receive what they can never prepare for themselves, what they could never have enough of, and that gift of the wedding feast of heaven, which you have prepared for each and every man, woman, and child that understands and receives and responds to that invitation and that call. Lord, I pray that people here and online or anywhere else would answer, yes, Lord, I want to be in that wedding feast with the Lamb. I want to be there with you for all eternity, Lord. And then I pray, Lord, for just mercy to cover all of us as we work through everything from the emotions and the difficulties of COVID, the struggles and hurts of having people we love become sick or in some cases die, of circumstances that are made very much aware to all of us how really beyond controlling even our next breath and moment is, that in the middle of that, Lord, there would be a tenderness and a quiet strength that you pour out in each man, woman, and child here. I pray that they would be lifted up. I pray that they would feel the tender invitation spoken with loving eyes and heart that Robert would speak to them for you and through you, Lord. And then I pray that your Holy Spirit would quicken that in all of our lives and that we would be comforted and strengthened. We pray, Lord, for men and women, brothers and sisters who are sick or hurting. We pray for recovery for those who are dealing with COVID. We pray, Lord, for those on the front line that are putting their lives on the line for different reasons. And we pray that you would continue to show mercy, strength, and protection for all of them, Lord. We pray that you'd pull our families together and not allow them to be torn apart by the circumstances of life we're now dealing with. We pray, Lord, for just the wholeness of your life in each one of us. We pray a special grace over the Pett family and all those related to Robert, and we ask that there would be a spirit of encouragement, of grace, of tenderness, of celebration, of quiet appreciation for the man they knew in their life and for the blessing he was with you and through you, Lord, into each of their lives. And so bless them, create in them the joy, the confidence, and the peace and the unity you want to produce. We pray that in your name, Lord. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We'd ask that you remain seated while Tom sings the doxology. You going to go to the mic? Or?
Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'd like to ask and invite the pallbearers to come forward, if you would, please.